Jack Straw Productions presents Margaret Jean, a radio portrait. This is the story of a woman who stood up for what she believed, sometimes in the face of ferocious opposition. This is the story of a teacher, a counselor, a union worker, an activist. This is the story of Margaret Jean. In our previous episode, Margaret Jean, raised in a family with a tradition of political involvement, decided at an early age to become a teacher. She was a social worker in Seattle during the Great Depression when she met and married Tor Danielson. When Tor lost his job, he began to drink and resented the time Margaret Jean spent on union and other political activity. Finally, they divorced. In the 40s, her family's farm was taken by the federal government. Her parents, who had strongly opposed the use of atomic bombs on Japanese cities, were shocked to learn that the farm had become a part of the nuclear reservation at Hanford. In 1947, Margaret Jean married for the second time a merchant seaman named Hal Shudikoff. By 1954, Hal's health had failed him and left him unable to work. And now, Episode 2 of Margaret Jean.
Dr. Davis, telephone, please. Dr. Davis, telephone, please.
Here he is, Mrs. Shudikoff. I'll be back with his medication at noon.
See you then.
Thank you, nurse.
Oh, don't be nice to her, Jean. She's trying to kill me.
Oh, you behave yourself.
Bye.
You're looking much better, Hal.
Oh, you're the only one that thinks so.
What are the doctors doing now?
I'm poking around in my back where it hurts the most, figuring a way to strap me into a spinal brace.
Well, school starts soon. I can't wait to get back to work. Well,
at least somebody around here will be earning a living.
There's something else, Hal. I've been subpoenaed.
Subpoenaed? By who?
The House Committee on Un-American Activities.
You? Old high muckety muck in the PTA? In the Methodist Church, for crying out loud? They think you're a commie?
So they say.
Well, why'd they pick on you?
A woman named Barbara Hartle has been naming names. Mine was one of them.
Ah, she's full of beans. You, a commie. That's a hot one. Look, you get a lawyer now. A good one.
I've got one. A man with the ACLU.
Why in the world would this Hartle woman make up a bunch of lies about you? She is lying, isn't she? Jean? Isn't she?
And there will be no blue heaven for Seattle as the rain just keeps coming down. We're going to break into our regular programming now to go live to the City County Building for the beginning of the congressional hearings with our on-the-scene reporter, Ralph Rasmussen. Are you there, Ralph?
Thanks, Dave. I'm here in the unadorned chambers of the King County Board of Commissioners on the first day of hearings by the House Committee on Un-American Activities about Communism in the Northwest. It's really crowded in here. The benches are packed with people and more are standing along the walls. The hearings are being broadcast live on television across the country. The television lights throw a high glare on the witness chair and the committee bench. They also make it very hot. The committee members are taking their places at the table now. There are Donald Jackson and Clyde Doyle of California, Kit Clardy of Michigan, and Gordon Shearer of Ohio. The chairman, Representative Harold Valdy of Illinois, is a very tall, haggard-looking man. Here is Congressman Valdy.
Before commencing this afternoon's hearings, I should like to acknowledge a gift from King County Commissioner William Sears of these lovely carnations which grace our desk here. They add a little beauty to the hearing room and are very magnificent.
Outside in the hall, several subpoenaed witnesses have been trying to get into the hearing room. Pearl Castle is one of them.
People say, well, you have to get in line because, you know, They're not going to let you in. So we just swept up to the door and said, just a minute here. This is supposed to be a public hearing, and we are being testified against. So we feel that we have a perfect right. And our voices began to get a little bit louder and a little bit louder. And then they just let us in. They just swept us in. Here's these people who had been out there from, you know, early hours. And if you were polite, you didn't get anywhere.
Mr. Will Perry is now being questioned by Congressman Doyle.
I understood you to state, Mr. Perry, that this committee was unconstitutional.
I made that statement, yes, sir.
My records show that our highest courts have held this committee to be constitutional. Now, if you have a different authority, tell me what it is.
Well, our highest courts have changed their minds time and time again, and I'm confident that when the people demand it, that they will change their opinion.
I am asking you what opinion of the High Court...
There have been a number of dissenting opinions in the first place. I'm not a lawyer, sir.
I know that.
I don't pretend to be versed in the fine points of the law, but I have read the Bill of Rights, and I say to this committee that it is violating the Bill of Rights.
Our highest courts have ruled that it does not, and you made a flat statement.
No citizen has to agree with the courts, high or low.
Nor obey the law, either, according to your opinion.
Well, I didn't say that, and you know I didn't.
Well, that is what you're getting at.
Well, that may be your opinion.
Oh, it is very clearly my opinion.
Now, these people, of course, that we are discussing here, you also...
We are here during the second day of testimony as Mrs. Barbara Hartle is being questioned. Right? Mrs. Hartle was a major Communist Party leader in the Northwest during the 40s. She was convicted of party membership under the Smith Act in 1952, and she has been listing activities and naming names at these hearings now for the second day. The committee's counsel, Frank Taverner, is asking the questions.
Could you tell us just what connection the Seattle Labor School had with the Communist Party?
Yes. The Seattle Labor School's basic purpose was to spread Marxist-Leninist education, but to do it in such a way as to recruit as many people as possible out of this school into the Communist Party.
I see. Did you ever know a Gene Danielson, now known as Gene Danielson Shudikoff?
Yes.
Did you know her to be a member of the Communist Party?
Yes, I did.
What period of time was that, Mrs. Hartle?
In about the middle of the 1940s.
Did you know her definitely to be a member, at that time at least, of the Communist Party?
Yes, I did.
Now, Mrs. Hartle, do you have any information that you can give this committee concerning groups or organizations?
The witness is directed to identify himself.
This afternoon, Mel Kirkwood is trying to ask a question before he states his name for the record.
The main part of my question is my attorney allowed to speak in my behalf on legal questions that might arise in this hearing?
Of course not. As you well know, the committee has certain rules regarding the right of the witness to counsel. You have a right to confer with counsel at any time you desire.
Then I am to understand that I am not to have full use of my legal counsel. Is that correct?
Your counsel has been fully informed of the rules of this committee.
By the way, what are the rules of this committee? I am not fully informed.
Will you please subside and hold your peace? You have no question pending at the moment other than your identity.
This is very easy for you fellows with five of you against one. Well, after all, I'm ill at ease.
Order, please. Let us have order in the hearing room.
Margaret Jean Shudikoff is at the witness table now. She is a tall, striking woman with white hair. She has asked that the television cameras be turned away from her.
Mrs. Shudikoff, Mrs. Hartle has identified a Gene Danielson, the name you said you once went by, as a member of the Communist Party. So I ask you the question, have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
That, sir, I decline to answer, invoking my rights under the Fifth Amendment not to testify against...
Are you now a member
of... Let me finish.
All right. You invoke the rights of the Fifth Amendment. Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
That, sir, I again decline to answer.
The game on the part of the government was to get a witness to testify to some fact which waived the Fifth Amendment.
Margaret Jean's attorney, Ken McDonald.
And if the Fifth Amendment was waived as to that question, then it was waived for the balance of the proceedings.
Did you ever teach at the Seattle Labor School?
That, again, I decline to answer for the same reason.
Do you work with children, with young people in your present work?
So that it was a cat and mouse matter. And if one were to get into one's employment, then they might be able to say, well, we're entitled now to inquire as to your all of your employment history and the schools, etc.
Well, sir, that would come back to the question which I said before I would be glad to answer if I would not be accused of filibustering.
Just say whether you have any connection with children and young people.
It isn't as simple as that.
On the third day of these hearings, Mr. George Starkovich is wasting no time in making his feelings known to the committee.
When and where were you born, Mr. Starkovich?
My answer is under protest, under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, and I will answer that I was born in Bellingham, Washington.
It is not necessary to invoke the Fifth Amendment to those questions which you answer.
Congressman, I will give my answers the way I want to give them.
You will give your answers the way you want, up to a certain point.
I will give them according to the way I want to give them, and you give the questions the way you want to.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that the record should demonstrate that there was obviously in the mind, because it was demonstrated on the face of the witness, the most contemptuous possible attitude that I think I have ever noted in a witness. I want that clearly shown in the record.
I want to express to the congressman that I do have contempt for this committee, and I want that in the record.
Where were you living in 1950, Mr. Starkovich?
I have a question for you, congressman. What are you doing to keep us out of Indochina?
They wouldn't. I mean, I came back to work the day after I testified, and they said, well, you have no job here. I'd been there 2 years.
George Starkovich.
They were scared to death, and so was the union. It was an old AFL lumber mill union. They didn't want me around either. 9 out of 10 other people, or more than that, just didn't have a job the next day. And even worse than that was that they couldn't get another job, especially if they were professionals.
Gene? Gene, there's a guy here to see you. Says you got a job for him.
Oh, that must be George. Send him back here, Hal.
She's out back. You better do a good job. We don't want no freeloaders around here. You got me?
You think one is enough of them, do you?
You watch your mouth, sonny.
George, I'm around back.
Here I am.
Are you ready for work?
You bet. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, Gene. I haven't been able to get any work since the hearings.
You were very courageous to stand up to them the way that you did.
They want to throw me in jail for misuse of the Fifth Amendment. But my lawyer says they got no case. How are you? You working?
I wish I knew. At first, the school board voted to retain me, but then this Colonel Stack launched a petition drive to keep me out. The county superintendent felt the pressure, so he fired me. Then the state superintendent, Pearl Wanamaker, bless her heart, she came out on my side. The papers have made it a hornet's nest. It's not over.
What a pile of garbage.
Come into the orchard. I want you to see the problem I have for you. There they are. Caterpillars. Eating all the leaves. Mm. Aren't they repulsive?
You're right about that.
It's a bad year for caterpillars. It's a bad year for committees. After the hearings, a newsman, he wanted to know why I didn't want to be on TV. After all, with my white hair and blue eyes, I'd look nice on TV. I didn't speak at first. I was thinking, is that what the hearings are about? Doesn't civil liberty have anything to do with it? Finally, I said that I consider TV vulgar. He wrote that I was unfriendly, hostile.
Aw, what does he know?
The committee members and Veldy,
They're a horrible infestation, like the caterpillars in my trees.
Gene, what are you doing? You're squashing them with your fingers.
Each one of these little worms is like Veldy, devouring us, eating away at our lives.
You can't squeeze them all to death.
They disgust me.
I'll get rid of them. They won't be back.
Gene, come here a minute.
Coming, Hal. You go ahead, George. Do what you think is best.
Okay. I will.
What is it, Hal?
Well, Gene, you know what? Even since I got my license back, I ain't been working much. And, well, what with this school board thing going on for so long? Oh, we're running short of cash. So I've been poking around, and I found out there's a carnival is looking for people. I've done it before, but well, I can't do it alone. Not in the shape I'm in, so what do you say? Huh? How about joining the carnies with me?
Oh, Hal. I have the whole appeals process ahead of me. I can't walk away from that.
Well, that may be so, but you just remember what I said. It's a good way to make money.
Okay, here comes the Tacoma School Board. How do you feel, Gene? Are you ready?
I'm glad the waiting is over.
Now, you leave this to me. Remember that you have supporters on the board.
I can't tell you how glad I am to have you on my side, Ken.
This meeting will now come to order. This hearing is to consider the school board's decision not to renew Mrs. Shudikoff's contract in the coming year. The board charges that she has lost her usefulness to the district by her conduct in 1954, and that her retention will undermine public confidence in this district and its directors to the detriment of the school children.
Mr. Chairman?
Your name, sir?
Ken McDonald, attorney for Mrs. Shudikoff.
Proceed.
I ask that all charges be stricken as insufficient. The causes for removal from a school position must relate to qualifications of the person charged and to performance of that person's duties.
Overruled. Call the first witness.
Mrs. Wright, have you, in your own mind, reached a settled opinion as to your confidence in Mrs. Shudikoff?
I object. This woman is not a teacher, Mr. Chairman. She doesn't even have children in school. Her opinion is based on hearsay, and the question is incompetent.
Overruled.
As a result of these influences, was your vote materially altered at any school board election?
Absolutely. I voted against the school bond because I lost confidence in this board.
The next witness is Superintendent Blankenship. You have a question, Mr. Haley?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Prior to this particular matter, Dr. Blankenship, had Mrs. Shudikoff's work been satisfactory?
To my knowledge, yes, sir.
Now, you would, as superintendent, have received any complaints, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Did not Mrs. Shudikoff take the same anti-subversion oath that other school employees take?
She did.
She also signed an affidavit of loyalty, is that not so?
That is correct.
I'd like permission for my client to read that affidavit at this time, to underline her strong commitment to her country's ideals.
Proceed.
I, Margaret Jane Shudikoff, state that I have not been during my entire period of employment with Tacoma School District 10 a member of the Communist Party or any other organization or group advocating overthrow by force of the government of the United States, the state of Washington, or any of its subsidiaries, and that I am not presently a member of any such organization. I solemnly swear I will support the Constitution of the United States and the state of Washington, and will by precept.
We will now hear from Colonel Stack.
I feel that a person who invokes the Fifth Amendment in a manner involving national security is inimical to the best interests of the U.S.
What did this have to do with national security, if you know?
Sir, I would like to read you the executive order dated October 13, 1953 on this. Any employee of the federal government who refuses to testify regarding charges of disloyalty before a committee of Congress on the grounds of constitutional privilege is subject to immediate dismissal.
Uh-huh. Is Mrs. Shudikoff an employee of the federal government?
No.
And does that executive order apply to her?
It does not. Legally, it does not.
You're right, Colonel Stack. Legally, it does not.
We will now hear final comments from the school board members.
Since we have not substantiated our reasons for failure to renew the contract, I cannot affirm the position of the majority of the board.
I don't think the board has ever had any jurisdiction in this matter. It's a constitutional right to be settled in courts.
By her evasive answers to the board following her invocation of the Fifth Amendment, Mrs. Shudikoff created a controversy impairing her usefulness as a school counselor. We lost a bond issue in September because confidence in the school board had been undermined.
The vote on the motion not to renew Mrs. Shudikoff's contract is 3 yes and 2 abstentions. The motion is passed. The hearing is adjourned.
After due consideration of the evidence, this panel has concluded that the school board's ruling shall stand. The hearing is adjourned.
The petition for appeal is denied. The hearing is adjourned.
Here you are, dear. Be careful now. Hold it tight. That's good. Who's next?
Right here.
You think you're the almighty queen of everything, don't you? Well, I got news for you, dearie. You ain't.
Hal, don't do this.
Don't you tell me what to do and what not to do. You got no right to order me around.
I'm not ordering
you. Nobody ever said I was disloyal. Nobody ever said I shouldn't be let around school kids.
Huh. Hello, sister. I just came by to... Hal, what are you doing here? You know you've been told to stay away.
I'll go wherever I want to go.
You better get out right now.
I'm going. You just remember what I said, Jean.
Marion, thank God you came by.
What did he say?
He said he was going to get me someday. He's getting worse all the time.
You're going to have to get away from him, Jean.
I just wish I knew how. I'm afraid to answer it. It might be Hal.
Stay put, Jean. I'll do the talking. What the devil do you want?
Is this Margaret Jean Shudikoff?
Oh, no. Whom shall I say is calling?
I'm calling from Tyler, Texas. May I speak to Mrs. Shudikoff, please?
It's okay, Jean. Some man from Texas.
Texas? Hello, this is Jean Shudikoff.
Well, how do? I'm from the Tyler School District. You sent us an application a little while back, and I wanted to ask you, are you free to start with us right away? I apologize about the short notice. We lost somebody in the middle of the time.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, that's mighty fine. We'll mail your contract to you right away. You take care now.
I can't believe it after all this time.
Can't believe what? Who was that man? What's going on, Jean?
I've got a job. I'm going to teach.
Oh.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
Well, what's the trouble, Mrs. Shudikoff?
You suspended a student yesterday.
The McNaughton boy, that's right.
For the length of his hair?
Let me tell you how things are done down here in Texas, Mrs. Shudikoff. We like to be able to tell the boys from the girls. They may think it's okay in California to let their children go crazy, but we aren't going to let that happen here. It's our job to give our children a solid education in American values, reverence for God, respect for authority, and good grooming. Long hair is a symbol of defiance to authority, and we will not tolerate it.
Isn't freedom of expression an American value?
Long hair is not a form of expression. It is a symptom of a disease, Mrs. Shudikoff. If we let that disease go unchecked, we are exposing our children to subversive elements who would be only too happy to see our form of government crumble and collapse.
Here we go again.
Now, just what does that mean?
It means that I have heard it before. I've tried all my life to respond calmly to even the most bizarre allegations, but I am amazed that you are so terrified by a boy's hair. I've seen policemen beat workers into the ground for demanding fair wages and safe conditions.
Now, just you wait one
minute
there.
Let me finish. I have seen many lives ruined because powerful men could not bear to let people think for themselves. It's not pleasant to watch. It's like seeing little worms crawling all over the Constitution, trying to nibble it away.
I've heard just about enough of
this. Please don't bother firing me. You'll have my resignation on your desk before the end of today.
Back in Washington State, Hal had died. Margaret Jean returned to her home in Gig Harbor during the height of the Vietnam War.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs.
Please.
You that hide behind walls.
Peace. Help.
You that hide behind
walls. Peace. Help. Peace. Help. Peace. Help.
America needs to take a long look at itself and what it is doing to the land and people of Vietnam. Our government would rather destroy the country than allow it to fall into the hands of the people who live there.
Ken McDonald, Margaret Jean's lawyer.
Seeing her at Vietnam demonstrations 25 years later, there she was. Same serene Margaret Jean Schutekopf, same dignified, tall, handsome woman, carrying on and... To me, it's a great testimonial to her and to America if we make our system work.
Our farm was made into part of the Hanford Reservation, so its misuse is a very personal issue for my family. But it should be personal for all of you, because it is hurting all of you.
George Starkovich.
She was just the kind of person that never gave up. Had been that way since she was had grown up in Eastern Washington with a strong family, had gone to college, which was not the average woman going to college, probably in the 30s. And I would put her in the same class with Eleanor Roosevelt.
We came out here today to protest the stockpiling of nuclear warheads in this area and the buildup of nuclear arms by this government. It has to stop. We want it to stop now.
Margaret Jean's friend, Eleanor Anderson.
She just couldn't quit teaching. She loved the French poet Prévert. I still think of her arthritic fingers bent over a page, tracing a line of his poetry and encouraging me to translate myself.
Margaret Jean, A Radio Portrait, was produced by Jack Straw Productions, Seattle. Executive producer is Joan Rabinowitz. Producer is Jesse Minkert. Performance is directed by Paula Swenson. Doug Hare, engineer. Script by Jesse Minkert, adapted from material provided by Eleanor Anderson. Margaret Jean was played by Amy Mack. Larry Albert was the DJ and Congressman Doyle. Kurt Beatty was Veldy, Blankenship, and the Texas Principal. Maureen Hawkins was the nurse. Jeff Klein was Will Parry and a school board member. Linda Livingston was Mrs. Hartle. Scott McDonald was Taverner and Ken McDonald. Jim Monitor was Hal and Rasmussen. Terry Edward Moore was George and Colonel Stack. Bob Ogilvie was Clardy and the school board chair. Marianne Owen was Marion. And Clark Sanford was Kirkwood and Haley. Special thanks to Eleanor Anderson, Pearl Castle, Dave Gardner, Nick Johnson, Ken McDonald, Pam Seaman, and George Starkovich. I'm Stevie Kalis. Support for this production was provided in part by the Seattle Arts Commission, the King County Arts Commission, the Washington State Arts Commission, and the Jack Straw Foundation. Thank you for joining us.